Welcome to SPS Extra, where we talk about all the latest in Spokane Public Schools athletics and activities. I'm Taylor Brooks.
And I'm Stephanie Splater.
And today we are talking about non-traditional extracurriculars. This is actually the second time we've done a non-traditional extracurriculars episode because there's just so many and it keeps growing. And the clubs and activities at the different schools across the district really keep adding interesting and intriguing clubs, and that really starts with the kiddos and what their interests are.
I was hearing recently about the Hutton Foreign Language Club. So I have
a friend,
Gretchen, who was on our last episode. Her daughter was in that.
Yes.
That's fantastic, learning different languages at school with your cool people.
Yeah.
Yeah, fun.
And we'll say it a lot, and we do say it a lot. It just takes one kiddo to be interested in something. You talk to a counselor, you talk to whoever it may be, and then you find out, oh, there's more people that are interested in this. And I think we've seen that a lot with Lego robotics. As soon as a kid hears that their school has Lego robotics, it's like, wow, it's becoming more of a norm, like we were talking off the mic.
I think the hard part is finding out how to solicit that student voice, because we've tried all different ways. Of course, there's surveys. Of course, there's classroom conversations when secondary kids get together for advisory or for different leveled meetings, like senior class meetings or sophomore meetings. Those are a good time to find out. But it's also important just to know like what the pulse of kids are right now, because maybe we have a club that we've had forever and there's like two people showing up. Now, that's awesome for those two people. That's fantastic. But is that something that we necessarily want to sustain into the future? So it's just hard to know. But figuring out what kids want to be involved in is super important. So we're going to talk about a couple of those today.
Yes, we have some really great interviews on this episode at the elementary, middle, and high school level. We start with the cooking club at Franklin. And when you think of kids and cooking, automatically you're like, wow, that's really cute. But you'll hear the extent of this in this extent of this interview. They let the kids cut, and they had a whole day where they were just teaching how to cut. I still make my husband cut my chicken, my steak, things like that. But that made me really happy that they're doing the full extent of that. I feel like with these clubs, you can really dive into what specifically you're doing or what you're talking about, especially if you're meeting once a week, which, and maybe even twice a week. I mean, that's
awesome.
Pretty cool.
I mean, cooking club is also a life skill. And so it's something that obviously everybody needs. And I think there's an interest in it. I know I was at Shaw a couple of years ago and they were talking about getting a cooking club going, and there was a lot of interest. They were thinking of more of an international flair. So they were going to cook different things throughout their throughout the year and expose kids to different cultures through food. So that was super awesome. I like that you have the Franklin Elementary Cooking Club recipe book with you today. That's fantastic.
I do.
That's a pretty significant book.
They were so nice to give me their fall 2023 edition.
You've got all the recipes.
I do. I have all the recipes. You'll hear that the protein balls, I guess, were a big hit, and I definitely plan on making them when I have some time, which would be during break.
I saw some pictures in there of the students preparing a meal for each other, and there's some cool tablecloths.
Yeah.
So they're doing the full experience
of
cooking club. They're not just generating recipes, making something, and trying it out. They're like, it's a full-fledged culinary experience.
And when you say culinary, it goes beyond that. So they are just being very thorough. But it also reminds me of clubs like Etiquette Club and things like that. Last year, I did a story at Regal with their Etiquette Club, and it was a full-on experience. They brought their parents in and their grandparents in one night, and they had dinner, and they, you know, had the fancy tablecloths and set up the plates and the drinks and all of that. And so even just stemming off of Cooking Club and what else there's out there in terms of this, Etiquette Club was really fun last year.
That's fantastic.
I know.
I think sometimes these clubs come out of student interest, but also come out from adults wanting to connect kids to current either skills, things that they're going to learn later, that need to know later, or current issues like the environmental clubs at Lewis and Clark and Ferris. So those started way back. Mm-hmm. I think the Ferris one started way back and is now thriving. And the Lewis and Clark one started during COVID.
Right.
And they sometimes combine and do activities together, like things like hiking, just being a part of nature and in the environment, and that's awesome. But then also attending workshops and speakers about the future of the environment,
yeah.
doing projects like recycling clothes and recycling food. I know during COVID, when LC's environmental club started, it started because of apples that weren't being picked at Green Bluff. And so they went and picked them and then donated them to people who were in need during COVID, which was basically everybody was needing an apple. Everybody was needing access to healthy foods. And they saw a way to incorporate that into a way to be together and to also work on something that they are passionate about. So the environmental clubs at LC and Ferris are a really great follow on Instagram.
Yeah.
If you're on there, you know exactly what they're doing. They meet all the time, but they needed an adult champion to lead those groups. Yeah. And they have that, and they've been solid for years. And so those are two cool clubs that are interesting, are relevant, and that kids want to be a part of. So check those out if you get an opportunity. Or, you know, if someone's listening and that sounds cool to you and you're not at one of those schools, let's start it up. That's fantastic.
Exactly. And that's really the focus on this is we have all these amazing clubs, but we want more. We want to continue to hear kids' interests. And I think this is a part where we don't like talk about a whole lot, I guess, but you think it. When there is a club, there has to be an advisor. There has to be someone, whether that's in the school or if it's a parent, like the cooking club at Franklin, it's a parent and a teacher. And that involvement is important as well.
Absolutely. And I think like just what you were saying, I would imagine that from what I'm learning about the cooking club at Franklin, the kids take a lot of agency in how the club is run.
Yes.
And how it's planned. Just like at FLET, like we've talked about before, one of our brand new schools. Yeah. They don't do clubs that kids don't bring up in the first place.
Right.
So they are in charge of organizing, planning, and carrying it out. And of course, we need a caring, cool adult to be with them.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to hear all of those details from the Franklin Cooking Club. So that's super exciting.
If you guys know me, which people are starting to get to know me by now in this podcast, I am not a very good cook. That is all my husband. So here at Franklin, they have a cooking club. All the tips and tricks, hopefully I get that from these two ladies today, the leaders of the cooking club here at Franklin. So how about you guys introduce yourself and we'll jump right in.
Hi, I'm Tanya Olson. I'm a third and fourth grade teacher here at Franklin. My kids went through Franklin as well and have been excited to work with my partner in getting this project started.
Hi, I'm Nicole Gleason. I'm a health coach and nutrition counselor. And my daughter Emma is in the Apple program. So I'm an Apple parent and she's in second grade.
First, how did this idea originate for you guys?
I've been interested in teaching cooking to kids for many years. Occasionally, I've done a project with my class here and there when we have some space and maybe a refrigerator or a stove, but our beautiful new Franklin remodel has allowed us a space called the community room that has tables and sink and stove and so forth so that we can actually bring a whole class and do a project or start a club.
And then how did you get involved?
I think anybody who knows me knows that I never shut up about nutrition. My daughter brings lunch to school, yeah. And we cook a lot. All of her friends know this about us. And I told our assistant principal here that I was interested in doing something like this. And I was involved with our garden club, which we'll talk about too, because that's another link here.
Absolutely.
And so we were just trying to figure out how to bridge these two. So I waited patiently for a while Mrs. O'Connor knew about my desires, and then she put me and Tanya together.
How did it go? Talk me through all of the good stuff and maybe, you know, some kinks as well, because starting a club is not easy, as we know. There's always moving parts with these kinds of things.
I knew Nicole would be a great partner. Last year we had a service club, and she volunteered there and was really hands-on and helpful. So I knew a little bit about just her willingness to help kids. And then when I found out how interested she was in creating recipes that are kid-friendly, I thought she would be the perfect partner. I'm pretty good at kid wrangling, permission slips,
yes.
That organization piece, kind of pacing, that sort of thing. And she had the creativity, the cooking skills. So I think we've created a pretty good team to cover what we need to in the club.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking in my head. You guys seem to make a really good team with the balance.
Yeah, it's actually perfect because I think initially we had this idea and we were so excited about it. We didn't care about how it came about. And we had a few calls and we're like shooting off some ideas. And then ultimately we just dove in and it was like week by week. Okay, what do we need? And pivoting and changing and, you know, initially getting all these kids organized and how do you run a club? The first class was, I had like a major faux pas and we needed to pivot. So just organizing how the club runs when you have over 30 kids excited to grab a utensil, I think that it just was, you know, there was initial planning and then there was pivoting and we worked really well together.
You guys said about 30 kids. So is that how many you guys had this fall?
We had 32 kids, okay. But we had over 80 apply.
Oh my goodness.
So that was a tough situation just doing a lottery. We wanted mixed multi-age, so we took kindergarten through the fifth graders.
Wow.
So
awesome.
We created pretty much five teams of six or six teams of five, kind of depending on the week. Mm-hmm. And those kids were multi-age. So we asked the older kids to help and be leaders and help read the recipes to the littles and be the direction followers and that sort of thing. But we had a lot of interest. So we're repeating the club, maybe with different recipes, but we'll invite kids who didn't have a chance to come back in the spring.
You guys have mentioned, you know, there was some pivoting, there's plans. I mean, I feel like that's with every new thing that you're starting to do, especially when you have 32 kiddos that range from kindergarten to fifth grade, which is super unique because sometimes you hear of clubs, especially in the district, that there's age requirements or it might just be for fourth and fifth graders. This is so inclusive. Did you guys always want it to be that way?
We definitely wanted a balance, though. Mm-hmm. You need the older ones to help support the littles.
Exactly.
Yeah, this wouldn't work so well as just a kindergarten, first grade club only.
No. It'd be extremely cute, which I'm sure it is cute no matter what, but I could see that. What were your guys' day-to-day? How did you guys get these kids to learn your recipes, grab the utensils, like you said?
Every table that had their utensils was given a recipe that I printed out that was direction-friendly, so it would be a step-by-step. The way we organized it was every kid got a number at their table, so they would have the assignment on this kind of detailed instruction sheet of what their task would be for the day and how they would contribute. So that organized things very well for us.
That was a smart learning pivot that you had, that once everybody wanted to do the chopping or everybody wanted the special tool to, so it was basically you were assigned a task to contribute to the recipe that the whole table group made one recipe. So, and then they got to eat it at the end. In addition, we created healthy snacks for when they got there. So when they arrived, they could eat a healthy snack that often was made from ingredients from the garden club before we started. So they would be eating their snack while we were kind of doing the intro of
demo.
This.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the garden club, they were involved in this process. Take me through that.
Yeah, we couldn't have done it without their partnership because, and this really started from, I think, the garden club. All the awesome veggies that they've been growing, we wanted a way to bring that into our club and use them because there was an abundance of tomatoes and, you know, different herbs and things like that. So just so fun that the kids were able to see what they were planting and growing and then harvest it, bring it to club, and we had come up with a recipe that they could use in that. So we are partnering with them going forward to, you know, talk about what's great to grow in the garden that we could use for cooking club and just kind of have this symbiosis. So the leaders of that club were pivotal in creating recipes themselves too, even like We had a ton of pickles, so they would make homemade pickles for us, or, you know, whatever ingredient, and from their own garden. So just really beautiful symbiosis between our two clubs.
Such a unique experience, too, for these kiddos. Like a garden club and a cooking club, and they are elementary kids students. What does that just say about Franklin and the opportunities that this school provides children?
We have a pretty unique working environment with parents, that parents really want to dive in and support or lead clubs, extracurricular activities, enrichment activities. So there's just a culture of, you have an idea, let's make it happen for the kids. So we scheduled the garden club on Mondays and the cooking club Tuesdays so they could do the harvesting for us and share. And many of the kids were in both clubs, so they could, you know, they could use those ingredients and see the whole process.
Cooking is such an essential tool to have. I mentioned at the beginning, I am like truly not the cooker in our house. My husband is the sole basically cooker. Sometimes I do, like we do HelloFresh, for example, and then it's all spelled out for me how I'm supposed to do it. But I'm really proud after I do those things because I really am not a good cook. So maybe I need to come and just like do a session with you guys. Cooking is a fantastic tool. What else is this club teaching these kiddos about life and moving on to middle school and becoming older and wiser?
Well, I love the way that Tanya organizes a club and that she really gets the kids involved in thinking about what does this mean? And initially, it's not just diving into cooking. The way that she sets it up was like, what's a recipe for success for our club? Mm-hmm. And so she had it all laid out like a recipe, what the ingredients are and then how to make it work. So everything was really relevant. And we got to talk to the kids about, you know, I think I blurted out because I just can't help myself. My cooking comes from love. Like I cook because I love. You make a soup for a sick friend or family member. You know, what does eating ingredients from the garden do, and what are nutrients, and how do they help our bodies be healthy? And so there's sort of a wide array of both the physical, the emotional, the reasons for cooking. I meant to say this earlier, and I don't want to forget to say this. This club could not have been run without our volunteers, because you were talking about in terms of how did it run? Yeah. Well, it couldn't have run if we didn't have a parent at every table. So Absolutely. We had 5 to 6 parent volunteers. And then when club was over, we had an hour of cleaning to do. Mm-hmm. And they would roll up their sleeves and sweep and, you know, wash dishes. So, yeah, it big community involvement, not just, you know, staff here.
Anything to add to that, or what you hope these kids gain out of this, and that's not only becoming master choppers?
Well, they did definitely learn some knife skills, and I wanted to highlight that coming from a nutrition background, Nicole had lots of ideas about how to create the recipes, and they're really delicious, and some of the things that kids would have either never had the opportunity to try, or maybe they thought was yucky. We got kids to try things, even just a little sample bite, and kids were eating things that they had never had before, and were bringing the recipe home that night and asking if they could get some ingredients. And I think the ability to create recipes that were kid-friendly and nutritious, also do lessons about like the skill of cooking, but also, you know, what's important about spices, what's important about protein, those kinds of things were woven through the lessons.
What are some examples of some recipes that might be in the book and some amazing recipes these kiddos got to learn about and cook this year?
One of my favorite recipes that we did, along with just that food piece, we would teach a kitchen skill. So our sharps, everyone's like, oh, you gave these kids knives? We sure did. And we taught them safely how to use them. So we did a sharps class. Talked about knives, peelers, shredders, nice. And then we made, with a majority of ingredients from our garden, we made fresh spring rolls. So they got to do a lot of chopping, a lot of grating, a lot of peeling, and, you know, we were really aware too of, you know, food allergies. So, absolutely. You know, thinking about like, we're not bringing peanut butter into club and things like that. So I made a pivoted to like a sun butter that they could then dip. So some things were made ahead of time that they could might get them involved in trying like a big, huge bite of veggies. But I think that one was really successful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Protein balls are the favorite.
Oh, yeah.
I still make them at my house.
Yeah. Just things like the chunky applesauce I thought was so fun. You know, we try to use things that are local too if we're not able to source them from our garden. So Tanya went up to Green Bluff and got apples because it was seasonal. So we tried to do seasonal things. We worked with pumpkin and squash because of fall. We had a family donate a ton of eggs from their chickens, you know, so it's just really cool how it was just the community involved.
The protein balls, those sound so delicious. So they're not only learning this now, but they can take that with them. And gosh, I would have just loved to have something like this growing up because my mom didn't teach me any knife skills. Sorry, Mom.
A big thanks to Tanya and Nicole for joining us on this month's SPS Extra. How cool is it that there's technically two clubs involved in this process? You have the garden club at Franklin and then the cooking club. Some kiddos are in both. If you're not in both, that's totally fine. But you're seeing the full entire process. And even if you're just in cooking club or you're just in garden club, it is opening your eyes to how things are connected and how cooking, you're getting those vegetables, you're getting what they're making in the garden, and then you're putting those in the recipes that you're making as a kid. Like, I just love it. And I would have just, I'm not a good cook still, as I mentioned in this interview, but this cookbook's inspiring me.
That is so fun. And I know garden clubs are definitely on the rise. I was a part of a great garden club at Cooper Elementary years ago. We had this fantastic garden. Schools are a wonderful place to have a garden because they look cool. You're learning about how things grow. And then for this to be connected to the cooking club is so fantastic and really shows how those things integrate. I've taken some cooking classes, but the best one I ever took was when the beginning of the class was at the Kendall Yards Night Market, Farmer's Market,
so
and you went and picked out the ingredients, and then you took it back to the cooking club, and then we made like full-on spring rolls. I know that's a recipe I saw in the Franklin recipe book, and then other things, and we made our own dinner, and it was so fantastic.
Gosh.
And whereas that wasn't a part of the growing process, it was a part of that Farmer's Market process,
right?
And it just felt cooler, just you know, different from just going to the grocery store and getting your ingredients.
Yeah,
but these kids definitely have buy-in. And you said some are in both clubs.
Yeah.
So that's fantastic.
Yeah, on different days.
They're going to be great cooks when they're older.
Yeah, and I think the other part too is there was so much interest in the cooking club. They had to max it out at 32 kiddos.
Whoa, that's
and
a lot.
And so, because you have to think about equipment and aprons and all those things too. But so
you got to have an apron. Of course you do.
Seriously. Got to have your utensils. So they did it lottery pick style. And then in the spring, they still have those kiddos' names that unfortunately didn't get in, and they are going to do another session
in
the spring. So, all right, well, we're going to take a quick break, but coming up next, we will have the Ferris Ski Club on the podcast. Welcome back to SBS Extra. We've talked about the unique clubs and activities going on in our schools, and our next interview is with the Ferris Ski Club. You will find out it's really a winter sports club, which is so fun because you can't really do that on campus. You know, you have to go to the mountain, and that's what this group of kiddos specifically did last year. They had one trip out to Mount Spokane where they all went up. They kind of just got to do their own thing. And then this year, they're planning on doing some really cool stuff. They're fundraising right now. They get some good discounts, which is awesome. So this is a fun one because it's just very different from a lot of different clubs that we have.
And there's obviously an interest because every time we do athletic surveys as part of our Title IX equity reporting, winter sports are always right up there with an interest. So that's fantastic that they're exploring that at Ferris for sure.
Yeah, super fun. So here is the Ferris Ski Club.
I am here at Ferris High School with Saxon Snow Sports, the club. This is so exciting because this is really such a unique non-traditional extracurricular here at Ferris and honestly throughout Spokane. So how about you guys introduce yourselves and then we'll get into it.
Hi, I'm Milana Corin and I'm the president of the club.
Hi, I'm Elle Peters and I'm just in the club. I'm a senior here at Ferris.
I'm Nicole Pelland and I'm also a senior at Ferris and just I'm a club member.
For all three of you, what got you interested in the club? Why were you guys like, oh wow, this would be super cool to join?
Well, for me, I've been skiing since I was like 5 years old, since there's so many great ski resorts like around Spokane and in Idaho. And I thought it'd be cool to like ski with my classmates, and I thought that might help like build a better community. So yeah.
I've been skiing for a while too, and it's a great sport. I love it a lot, and you know, I'm trying to get better. And also there are some really nice discounts that are offered, which is I think why Milana started the club.
Yeah, speaking of starting the club, take me through that process. How long has this been a club at Ferris?
I started it about this time last year, and there was a lot of like technicalities and papers to go through, which was very difficult, but we're here now and we're able to go on trips. Last year we went on one trip, and then this year we're hoping on to at least go on a few.
Why did you decide to start this club here?
I go snowboarding every season, and I think it is very pricey, and a lot of students, especially if you're working or something like that, a lot of people ski and snowboard here at Ferris specifically, I mean, and all around Spokane, but I just know that a lot, it's not always in the budget for everyone, and so it's a good way of like getting a discount while still being able to go out and snowboard with your community.
You guys have mentioned discounts, things like that, but I also know you guys fundraise, right? Yeah. So talk to me a little bit about that and how you guys are trying to raise money so you can go on more than one trip or however many trips it ends up being this year. And then, you know, I know you guys are all three seniors, but that continues for the younger kids as well, and it inspires them to be like, okay, if we raise this amount of money, we can go on this many trips.
Currently, we are doing a hoodie fundraiser, and you just go online, you buy your hoodie, and then we get part of the profit. In the future, we're hoping to host like a staff versus students volleyball game. I think that just would be a great opportunity to get the whole school together, even if they're not a part of the club, just get them together and enjoy one night together.
How important is this aspect of, you know, I went in there, you guys are all together, you're making signs, I'm assuming talking a little bit about fundraising. When you guys do raise the money and get to go on these trips, like last year, how fun was that?
Since it's my second year, it was actually a lot of fun last year. And I know we were looking to busing options, but last year we all carpooled up. Yeah. And it was a lot of fun. Like, you get, you know, a buddy system going. Some people would, like, hit the park and someone would, like, go down different trails. It's just a really cool experience.
What are you guys doing in there? I mean, what are some other things? Are you guys just really meeting to fundraise? Or you guys meet every Wednesday, right? So it is a time commitment.
We actually go skiing every meeting after school.
just in the parking lot.
Yeah. just casually down the, you
we
know,
actually
the
have
South
our
Hill
own resort. Right back there.
Yeah, it's behind the school.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw it right on your way here.
Oh yeah, yeah. I definitely saw the ski lift.
No, but we like brainstorm ideas and we talk about like plans and then obviously come up with ideas for fundraising. I remember there were like two separate times where the club was like trying to find ideas for fundraising, and then we also make posters to put around the school.
How many members are in the club?
I would say around 20. It just differs every week. Yeah. It depends on people's schedules. But piggybacking on what they were talking about with what we talk about in the club, we also have an Instagram, and so we can just find ways to add on to our Instagram just to make it more known.
Yeah, follow it.
Yeah, follow our Instagram.
At
@Saxon_snowsports.
I mean, the big thing, especially with this podcast that we do, I mean, it's called SPS Extra, and we always are preaching, if you are interested in something, if you have a hobby and you're not seeing it at your school, create a club. And that's exactly what you did. How fulfilling has this been for you? And then for you two to be a part of this, because it really does just take one person to have one interest and then it grows into this beautiful thing.
Yeah, so it definitely has been a bumpy road, especially since last year. It was kind of like finding all the paperwork, and there was a lot of hidden factors that I didn't know about before starting this club. But I guess you just do it day by day, figure it out, and as long as you have like a good supportive team, it's a lot easier to get help from others than just doing it all on your own.
How fulfilling has it been to be a part of this club, and you guys still have a whole semester left to be a part of it?
Well, for me, since it's my first year, I'm really like excited about it. And I think in general, Ferris has like lots of clubs and activities for like just about anyone, which is like a good environment to be in. And I'm especially excited for a ski club just because I have been skiing for so long and it's cool to go with like classmates.
That was still really cool for that kid to come in. He was looking for you guys. That's just like another member. How cool is that to, like, he just saw it on Instagram, was messaging you on Instagram. Like, how cool is that he just came in here and was like, yeah, where's the ski club?
My senior class, I feel like a lot of people know just because, yeah, I know a lot of people. I spread out the word to my fellow peers, but I'm not really in touch with, like, juniors and lower classmen. It definitely helps, like, having my brother, he's freshman, so he gets the word out to his friends and, like, other people, and they just pass it along, and I actually get that quite often, like, where someone will text me on Instagram asking when it is or, like, any information about it or, like, just people walking in. We get new members, honestly, almost, like every week.
Is there anyone this year that's, like, has never skied or snowboarded? Like, snowboarded before? Because if so, like, how do you handle that? Is that something when you guys do go out in January or whatever it may be, you guys are really trying to help them? Because they don't have to necessarily just do it with the ski club. They can go out with their families or their siblings or their friends on the weekends after they kind of get used to it, obviously.
I think it's really cool that they have this opportunity, like, outside of, you know, their own home and their own, you know, personal lives, because this is a way for them to, you know, learn something new through the school. And I know there's a few kids, or at least one, who hasn't been skiing before, and he claims he's going to do, you know, some backflips and everything. I'm like, okay, we'll see if you can get down the bunny hill first.
Do you guys normally go to Mount Spokane?
The one time we went, it was Mount Spokane, but we are planning on doing Lookout Mountain. It is quite a drive, and it's outside of the state, so more paperwork, but it's worth it, like, for a day field trip, just to skip one day of school and go out on the mountain with some friends and just tread the gnar.
You mentioned that it's worth it, and I was going to ask that because last year you mentioned there's a lot of moving parts, there's a lot of paperwork, so beware if you do want to start a club, there are some things, but you can always get help from obviously teachers and your classmates. But how worth it has this been?
It has been rewarding in the way of, like, you just get to meet so many new people in your school just by having a club. But even last year, I just remember going down the mountain, and it was just so cool. You're, like, with everyone you know. Everyone has, like, their own buddy. I mean, safety purposes, we have to have, like, our own buddy. Yeah. But it's not bad because you just have one other person you have to look out for.
Why do you guys think extracurriculars are important, especially being seniors, being involved in the school? You guys know this is your last hurrah. So why do you guys think it's important to be involved in these extracurriculars?
I think in my personal experience with, like, clubs and extracurriculars, you can actually, like, meet people who you might, like, have more similarities to, and you might be, like, a better match, like, friend-wise with. And also, like, I don't think everyone who goes to school is, like, into school, like, you know? So it's, like, not everyone, like, enjoys going to school. Like, I've had days where I just really didn't want to come. But having, like, extracurriculars after school or before school or at lunch kind of helps make the school environment more fun. And you can, like, there's, like I said earlier, there's, like, so many clubs and things you could get involved with, and you can meet people and just, like, have a good time outside of, like, doing math and whatever.
It's a great way, like Elle said, to meet new people and also get more experience doing things you actually enjoy.
Yeah.
Like, it's a way to kind of branch out from strictly academics and kind of pursue your own, you know, personal interests. And I think that's really cool.
For me personally, I'm not a very big school person. I've had senioritis since freshman year, so I've been waiting to get out of here. But it definitely has been something that, like, if you're wanting to go on a trip with us, you have to keep up your grades. Like, you get a grade check, so it definitely helps you with, like, keeping you in check. Since I have not been a big school person, I don't like to hang around school for any time that I don't need to be there. And so it definitely does connect you to the community, because it's like, okay, well, this is actually something I'm interested in. This is something that's like beneficial for me, whether it's just finding someone in the community for you, or like you could even put it on your resume that you were part of a club or you started a club or whatever it was.
There was such a good mix of kiddos in this club at Ferris. I, you know, asked that question, do you ever get kids who've never skied or snowboarded before? And yeah, there are a couple kids who are just like, I just want to try this out. So then, you know, if you go once, I feel like you're more apt to go with your friends or your family or whatever it may be, because it is not easy. I remember the first time I ever skied and I wanted to quit like right away, but I've gone skiing a trillion times since then. And coming from Illinois, we really didn't have great skiing, as you can imagine, but there was a place. It was called Snowstar, and it was little tiny bunny hills, basically like three of them. And that's where I learned how to ski. And then the first time I ever skied on an actual mountain, it was like terrifying. But,
you know, one thing we didn't talk about yet is we have some elementary schools that are doing ski field trips. And yes. So that's kind of preparing the interest and just like expanding on what kids are interested in. Garfield went last year.
Yes.
And then I know this year Linwood is going. And so we think about it being like, oh my gosh, taking students up to the mountain. And it's not really that complicated.
No, and it's Spokane. Not that scary.
Like this is Spokane. Like going to the mountain is just as close as going to Green Bluff to pick a pumpkin. So
100%.
There's a lot to it, but I think just the whole idea of meeting students' needs and like interests where they're at.
Yeah.
Let's go. So if you never snowboarded or skied, like whatever, let's go. Let's figure it out and get up there.
Yeah.
I don't know what my sisters were doing, taking some ski lessons here in town when we were kids, and they were skiing on some carpet mountains. And
so, yes.
Like, I mean, that's cool. It was a good way to learn and everything.
Absolutely.
But what better way than to go up to the mountain? But I also like that you had shared that the Ferris Winter Sports Club, they meet other times. So they're always meeting, planning. You said the fundraising, which is a big component of clubs and activities.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's fantastic. Lots of positive vibes. They have a million clubs at Ferris. So
there's
something for everyone to do.
Yeah, there's always posters around.
Oh, yeah. Those are fun to look at.
I know.
I like to see what's going on just walking down the halls.
I know.
And seeing all the, like, what's coming up. And like I mentioned before, following schools' Instagrams is a great way to see what the activities
and
clubs are that are happening.
Yeah, another place that I always see posters and clubs and is Salk.
Oh, yeah.
Salk has a lot of different clubs.
And so one of our brand new schools, Pepperzak.
Yes.
They're starting from just the basic minimum things.
Right.
But then they are doing all the things.
Yes.
They were at this last Saturday cheerleading competition at Ferris, the Pepperzak Pumas.
Oh,
they were there cheering. I saw them with their cool signs.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Getting out there, getting the experience. And I know it was really exciting for Ferris to host that competition, to have their Pepperzak Pumas also there competing. So fantastic. Pepperzak, they are ready to go. And they told us all about their pep squad.
Yes.
What is that about?
So what's happening? Their pep squad, it comes from Pepperzak. So it's not a pep squad cheering.
See what they did there?
Exactly. It is just a group of kiddos who don't necessarily have to be in leadership class, but they are leaders of the school. And 6th and 7th graders, because they don't have 8th graders there yet, right?
Not quite yet.
Yeah. So next year they'll have 8th graders. So I always get confused because there's so many with us opening these new buildings and then the transition. So 6th and 7th graders can be a part of the pep squad, and it's really just community outreach. It is helping out in the schools. They'll tell us more about it, but that is really what it is about. It's just kind of kids who want to lead and lead by example, and they just kind of help out Mr. Wicks. I'm here at Pepperzak Middle School with Principal Andre Wicks and two Pep Squad kiddos. So I'm gonna have you two introduce yourselves.
I'm Maggie Jones, and I'm in the 7th grade, and I'm involved in jazz band, basketball, and volleyball, and track.
Hi, my name is Promise Idebi, and I'm involved in Pep Squad, and I'm in sixth grade.
How did you guys decide to form Pep Squad? What was kind of the initial thoughts behind creating something like Pep Squad?
Honestly, I have to give credit to Dana Santos. She's one of our counselors here. She and I and some of the other design team members before, that while the school was still under construction even, had talked about the different ways that we could just help bring kids on board. Really, we were talking about our onboarding process for kids, for teachers, and things like that. And some schools have what's called like a link crew, which is essentially our Pep Squad. And we wanted it to be kid-driven, kid-led. And so it started. We did some outreach, Ms. Santos did, and connected with some of the kids we knew were going to be coming to Pepper Zach. I think we started with kids that initially may have like registered for leadership, so we knew, you know, kids that were interested in something like that. Although I don't think all of our kids that are in Pep Squad are also in the leadership class. But anyways, we just, we wanted a group of kids that could be present at events, welcoming people, greeting people. When we have new kids enroll at Pepper Zach, often a Pep Squad student gives them the tour and helps them get acclimated.
Very nice. So Mr. Wicks kind of just described what you guys do, but how about you two describe what you guys have done so far in Pep Squad?
There's some like new activities in Pepper Zach, the chess club, cross country, and racket sports. There's going to be some more even.
In Pep Squad at the beginning of the year, I helped with open house and leading kids and parents to their right classrooms and helping them find their way. And then we also are just kind of like a friendly face to have in the school. So if you need anything, we'll always like be there to help.
Which is so nice because, I mean, even for you two, this is a brand new middle school. Mm-hmm. No one has stepped foot in here. And so you guys stepped up to the plate. You guys are those people for those kiddos that you actually are as well. So how has it gone? What has it been like to go to a brand new middle school?
It's really cool because we're a new middle school, there's a bunch of like new experiences we get to have. So like the dances that we had last Friday, which was a lot of fun, the leadership kids organized, and then we have big house cons and such like that.
Promise, what has it been like for you to go to a brand new middle school?
It's been really fun, like meeting new people from different elementary schools. Like, it's just been,
Mr. Wicks, how have you seen the kids adjust to this? Because it's a whirlwind, and now we're about to winter break. Can you reflect on these last few months and just how much of a whirlwind this is and how you've seen kids adjust to this?
You know, Maggie and Promise would confirm that, you know, we talk often about just how proud we are of our students, because we have a lot to be proud of. Our kids have adjusted exceptionally well. As a staff, we've tried to be, I guess, just really conscientious about the environment that our kids get to come to school. And we want it to be fun, right? We, you know, our superintendent, Adam Swineard, I recall very vividly at one of our before school started meetings, just saying that school should be fun. We want kids to want to come to school. And so we kind of took that to heart. And yeah, I'm just proud. I'm proud of the way our kids have adjusted. I'm proud of the way that they've performed. I'm proud that they work hard and that they're kind to each other.
And a part of that is making it an experience beyond school. Like you mentioned, you're in three of those activities. You mentioned the different activities that are here at Pepper Zach. What is it about going beyond just the classroom and providing these kiddos with incredible opportunities to do so outside of the classroom?
I think I'm gonna pass the microphone over, because we've done some cool things. We've had a big give event, and I'm gonna let the kids talk about that stuff.
We've been doing like Second Harvest, like helping people out and everything. Pepper Zach is all about helping people and like expressing empathy and gratitude to any people who like need like help and like anything. So
yeah, we did the big give event, and we raised I think 2,000 food. And then we also, in my house, we made cards for Great Harvest, or a Living Center community, and for the holidays and stuff like that.
Why do you guys think it's important to give back? Like Promise said, you guys are always about helping people. You want to help people. You want to have empathy. Mm-hmm. Why do you think it's important to have empathy? Why do you think it's important to help out in the community around Pepperzak?
I think it's important because here at Pepperzak, we're really lucky to have such a great school and community. And I think it's good to give back and, like, since we have such a great community, help others have a good community too and have a good, like, holiday season.
Making the community better for all these people who are coming to this brand new school. Like, we have this newcomers program where people from all around the world come to Pepperzak, and it's just really fun, like, having new people coming here.
Like the girls have said, it's part of who we are. It's not just a one time a year. We talk about often the just being grateful, having gratitude for the things that we have. And our mantra, all day, every day, becoming my best self, we talk about, like, the process of that, what it takes, and specifically that, you know, to the only way that to truly fully become your best self is by helping others become their best self. So it's kind of connected to that. So our house system, you know, the things that we're doing with the community. The kids also did something really cool for Carla on her 100th birthday. We got to celebrate that here. And so we had her come in to celebrate with us on the day. And she brought everybody cupcakes, and all the kids made her, like, so many cards and, you know, asked her really cool questions. But the Newcomer Center was an ask made just a few weeks ago, honestly, and we jumped at the chance. I know that the kids, like Promise said, have been super welcoming to our students. Many of them speak little to no English, but we just felt like, you know, what better place for kids to land to have their first school experience in the United States than Pepperzak.
You guys got to see Carla recently for her 100th birthday, and you guys will get to see her again before winter break. How incredible is it to have met and be around your school's namesake? Because, as you guys know, we've opened a lot of middle schools around Spokane for Spokane Public Schools. No one gets to be as lucky as you guys and actually meet the person that their school is named after.
Yeah, we're really lucky that we got to meet her, and she's, like, super cool, and it's super cool that we get to meet her, and it's a lot of fun because we actually, like, have met the person our school is named after, and so I think it's really cool that we got to recognize her and all that she's done.
Yeah, it's been, like, really awesome getting to meet her in person, like, the person who's named after a school is just, like, really awesome and excellent.
I'm going to transition back to Promise, what you said about a couple of new clubs that have evolved here at Pepperzak. Is there any other clubs or that you guys would want to see here? What are some of your guys' interests that, you know, maybe you could start a club here? And that's what we always try to preach, especially on the podcast, is it really just does take one kiddo to be interested in something, and then it can turn into this amazing thing and become a club.
Probably, like, the multicultural cooking club is, like, where you cook, like, something from your culture and everybody gets to try it and see how good it is.
That sounds amazing.
Seventh graders have wide open to any sports they want, any extra things outside of school. And sixth graders, they have a few intramurals and such, but I'd want to see, like, a few clubs for the sixth graders to have pop up so they have, like, full access to sports they want to do.
Mr. Wicks, any clubs that you would want to see here at Pepperzak?
Well, they kind of dovetail off the multicultural cooking club, which is a new twist. Usually it's just called cooking club, but I like Promise's take on it. Actually, Ms. Santos and I were just talking today about multicultural club in general. And both of us were sharing previous experiences of a multicultural club and, you know, what it can look like. We have a vision, actually, because typically the multicultural club is made up of, you know, people from, you know, different ethnicities, different races, and ultimately it becomes that. And that's great. It's an opportunity for students from, you know, different backgrounds to get to know each other. But, you know, my vision for our vision for a multicultural club is really that culture, transcends race and ethnicity. You know, race and ethnicity is one way to categorize culture, but, you know, there's kids, the kids that are in athletics, you know, that is a culture. The kids that are into Dungeons and Dragons, that's a culture. The kids that are into chess, you know, that's a culture. You know, so our vision of the multicultural club ideally is really representative of the multiple cultures that exist within the school, not just by race. So we want it to be inclusive like that. Whereas if it is only about race and ethnicity, not intentionally, but it can actually become a little bit divisive. And we don't want that.
I asked you guys earlier why it was important to give back to the community especially, but to take it back to some different clubs and activities, why do you guys think it's important to be involved in extracurriculars? What is your why for being involved?
Well, I think it's like important to learn new things about new people. Meeting new people is just awesome.
Like Promise said, I think it's important to meet new people, but then also push yourself outside of your comfort zone and try something new that you might not want to do. And it's something you can just try for the year and then do a different thing next year if you don't want to.
Mr. Wicks, what's your advice to kiddos who might be nervous or hesitant about joining an extracurricular? It's scary sometimes to try something new, whether that is a club or a sport or whatever it may be. What's your advice to them? What's your encouragement to join something?
Well, I think Maggie said it perfectly. You know, it's about, you know, stepping outside your comfort zone. So as we talk about, you know, continuous improvement, becoming our best self, that becoming word implies growth and change and evolution, right? And the only way that you can do that is if you're doing new things. So, but on the encouraging side, just know that, I mean, one of the things in middle school and life in general is that, you know, if you're nervous about something or scared about something, it can feel like you're the only person feeling like that. And so I would say to kids that are nervous, you're not alone. You know, chances are there are other kids that are feeling just the way you are. And, you know, just to join them, you know, to support each other. Go for it.
Well, thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Such a fun interview. Those two kiddos, they were so enthusiastic to do the interview, and then they just were so good at answering my questions and going along with the conversation. And, you know, it is tough when you're just sitting there and you're kind of put on the spot, because I asked them, are there any other clubs or activities you want to add? And, you know, Promise said she wanted to add a multicultural cooking club.
Wow, see, that's what I'm talking about. Like, what? Just like at Shaw earlier, we were talking
so
about that.
We were so impressed with that.
That's fantastic. I know. You know what? Sky's the limit, because they're a brand new school. Let's do it. Do whatever you want. That's fantastic.
Yeah. And I've actually been talking to Shaw a little bit too, because they have a podcasting club. And weird. Goes just hand in hand what Stephanie and I are doing over here. So hopefully in the near future after the break, we can hang out with the podcast club at Shaw. But yeah, the sky is the limit, especially when you are a new school, like you said, and you have all of these exciting kids, and then you'll have new kids in there next year. And so fun.
It is so fun. Way to go, Pepper Zach Pumas. Fantastic.
Yeah, the Pumas.
It'd be fun to do a follow-up on this pep squad in a couple years to see where they're at. Now that they're just starting and getting things rolling.
That's a really good point. And obviously we have mentioned quite a few of the different clubs and activities that are really non-traditional in SPS, but there are so many more. We love all of our clubs and activities, and we can't wait to see where that goes and what other interests kiddos have. But, you know, this was just a few that we had picked out that we thought, wow, those are really unique and fun. And if you do have a club or activity at your school that you think needs to be highlighted, please tell us about it, because in my world of communications and doing videos, we love to do videos on clubs and activities, because that is just a different way of showing people outside of your school like what's going on, and we love that.
I have a great idea. You can listen to our episode from last March
with
the other extracurricular that we talked about, which was so fun. That was a really cool episode.
Yeah, that was. That was
Speaking
really
of non-traditional versus traditional.
Yeah.
We've got Spirit Games coming up.
We do.
So we've got kind of a mix of traditional. I mean, we know that Groovy Shoes and Rubber Chicken has been around since the early 80s. And then we got this Railroad Rumble at the end of January, which is new.
Yes.
So mixing in traditional and new with these spirit games. So looking forward to seeing everybody there. In our next episode, we're going to kind of do a recap of the Groovy Shoes and the Rubber Chicken.
Yeah.
And then a preview of the Rumble, because they're actually happening at different times next month. So that's great.
The schedule is a little bit different this year, where we come back from break and it is, bam, Spirit Week, which, what is more motivating to get back to school than to have this incredible week?
Now, nobody remembers, but in the 90s, that's how we did it.
Yeah.
So early in January. We had these games at the end of January and beginning of February for the last, like, however long.
Yeah.
But in my day, I remember January 7th. Like, January 7th, senior year, Rubber Chicken, three-peat, caught red-handed theme. I mean, so this was happening, but teams have been practicing. Cheerleaders have been getting ready.
Oh, yeah.
Dance team is ready to go.
Yep.
Props are being ordered. I have ordered some U-Hauls for some schools because we need to haul all those props to these different places to get ready. So we are ready. It's going to be a super fun January.
Yeah.
January is kind of, you know, after the holidays and, you know, heading towards February and spring. But January sometimes gets forgotten. But let me tell you what it is. It is Spirit Month.
Exactly.
So not
it
just
is
week.
Not.
Just the whole month.
Exactly.
So January 9th, Groovy Shoes at the arena. January 10th, Rubber Chicken at the arena.
Love.
And then let's roll on out to Cheney on January 31st to support our Rogers Pirates in the Railroad Rumble. Fantastic.
And that's at Eastern.
Yep, at Eastern Washington University.
That's so
because
fun.
Cheney's the home team this year, but whatever, you know, the Pirates are going to show up and be fantastic. So.
It is. I understand it's in Cheney, but I still kind of look at it as a neutral site, kind of like the arena, and it has that big time feel.
Yay. Something to look forward to.
That's
Can't
we,
wait.
Yeah, that's what we have to look forward to.
Themes. There's some Shrek happening. There's some video games happening.
Okay.
There's. Looks to me to be a combination of Marvel and Star Wars. We'll hear more about that.
Absolutely.
I'm not totally sure. but there's always really cool things going on. And I've seen a lot of ads for the t-shirts.
Yeah.
Always two t-shirts. We're always switching out.
We're switching them out.
Two halves, two colors, two games. We
still
got all
very
that going on.
By that.
There are people already working on props. Fantastic. Who knows what they're going to be?
I know.
That's
These schools
awesome.
Are so on top of it. You think like, oh my gosh, we have one more week till break. Then we come back and it's just like, bam, it's happening. But these schools have been working on this since the second last year's game ended. So
fantastic. So you know what else? It's going to be some good basketball matchups.
Yes.
Got some good teams.
Yeah, we really
this
do.
This year. Mm-hmm. You seen the North Central boys basketball team? That's a great team.
Yeah.
LC ranked third in the state as of what we are doing right now on this podcast in mid-December. So
That's
they're
amazing.
Not kidding.
Uh-uh.
We've got Rogers, a lot of those football players are on the Rogers team, so we know that's exciting.
Yeah.
Those are champions who know what they're doing.
Yeah, they do.
And we've just got lots of cool energy around our basketball program. So spirit games, basketball games, head out to the arena or Eastern in January. Fantastic.
And then listen in
Happy
January. Yes. Yeah. And then listen in January so you can get a recap and hear about all the fun things. As always, thank you so much for listening. Have happy holidays, and we will see you guys in the new year.